Two titles for today's talk are competing in my mind. One of them is, look at what you want instead of what you have. And the second one is a little bit more interesting from a title standpoint. Your new/old job title is Director of Energy. What we do with our attention, our intention, and how we feel as we use that attention and intention is what causes and creates the quality of our lives. Let me repeat that. What we do with our attention and our intention and how we feel as we use that attention and intention is what creates the quality of our lives. Our attention creates an energy flow to the object of our attention. We are growing that object, we are strengthening it, we're making it more solid. We're investing in it, and said another way, we're planting seeds in the soil of life with our attention and intention. And we're going to get a corresponding harvest. I'd like to add another idea to it is that we are not the force, we're the funnels. We're not the cause, we're the conduits. We are not the doers, we are the directors of this energy flow. I've used this phrase before, that we're expressions of God. I believe this to be true. But today I want to amend that and add, but our life conditions are expressions of our choices of attention, intention, and our feelings about them, as compared to our life's condition being the responsibility and or the blame of God. Here's a silly idea. Imagine there's a nice refrigerator, and there's an electrical cord extending from the refrigerator to the wall outlet. The cord is plugged in, and electricity is flowing through the cord from the source of electricity into the refrigerator. Got the image? Pretty standard, right? Add this. After a while, the cord begins to think of itself as the source of this power. It starts to believe that it is the cause of the refrigerator functioning well. It believes the power comes from it instead of through it. Sound familiar? Only the most ego-driven, most self-centered transporter of power would overlook the fact that the power is flowing to them and through them. When we look at and stay focused on what we currently have, we are going to get more of what we currently have. Now, if we have what we want, and we're currently experiencing life as fantastic, then we will want to be in gratitude and joy at being aware of the fact that we have in the past sown high vibration thought seeds, thought forms, and now we are reaping those high vibration harvests. We're going to want to continue that process. So as we think of what we have in gratitude and joy, and then think of what we desire for the future in gratitude and joy, chances are we're going to get more of it. Let me correct that. Not chances are, definitely. Because this is an inviolate law, the law of cause and effect. We reap what we sow. And when we ignore that reality, we end up with stuff we don't want, and then we don't know how it occurred. We did it. We created it. Almost everyone wants what will make them feel happier. That's pretty much what drives us from moment to moment. But not everybody knows that happiness is a symptom of the effective use of attention, intention, and our feelings about them. If we just had those three concepts, attention, intention, and how we feel about using them, and what we deliver through them, life would shift basically immediately for us. Just like reaping a harvest is directly and automatically related to the sowing, happiness and unhappiness are directly and automatically related to the way we sow our thoughts. Our choice of thoughts, the choice of words we speak, the choice of our intention, the choices of feelings we feel are like magic words that call forth darlings or dread, diamonds or disasters, lavish living or lack, health or hurt. They bring it forth from this divine soil called divine consciousness, God, spirit, however you want to use words to describe the source of all existence, to include our own being. If this concept is true, why wouldn't we work and play at getting better at calling forth the things that we want from divine soil? Here's why. The ego, the sense of self that we've developed over the course of our lives, is a major factor in this dilemma. We've developed our identity, our mindset, our sense of ourselves, with a lot of input from many people who were clueless as to what life was all about. They were often very dysfunctional in their own right and in their own lives, and now they wanted to teach us what they didn't even know. So they didn't know it, but they were going to teach us what didn't work for them. So guess what? It wasn't going to work for us either. But the ego will not allow people to become aware of that. And this is the conflict. The caveman, cavewoman part of our ego thinks that we're going to be safer if we constantly look around for threats so that we don't get surprised by them. This is a meaningful idea if we lived in caves and there were threats all around us and we didn't know the idea that our thoughts, our attention and intention, and our feelings about them were really the creative aspect here. If we didn't know that, then we think the threats are outside of ourselves and we walk around with a club all the time looking for them. But this is kind of like looking at a rose bush filled with beautiful flowers and only being aware of the thorns on the stem of the rose. Some people go through life like that, through a short life, through a struggle-filled life, through an illness-filled life, through an unhappiness-loaded life. There's a higher aspect to our ego that recognizes that our focus of attention, intention, and emotions is creative. In other words, we can create safety by creating safety. It's a thought process before we have to put locks on the doors or buy barbed wire or gun or attack dogs. We create prosperity by creating prosperity, using our minds to shape this divine soil. So we call forth from the divine soil prosperity, as compared to fighting threats or fighting illnesses, fighting poverty, or all the other threats that are marketed to us on television, in the news, by talking heads, by headlines in newspapers, from global warming, the sky is falling, to terrorists, to immigrants, to all the economy, and all the other things that are marketed to us, and plus all the brand new diseases that are being developed by marketing departments and pharmaceutical companies. We can control how we direct energy of our attention, intention, and our feelings that accompany them. Where and how our lives are currently going shouldn't be any surprise to us that they're a result of our previous thinking. They are the effect of our causative thoughts. They are the harvest of our previous sowing of thoughts. Our life now is the harvest of those previously sown thoughts. Our future harvest is a result of today's thinking and feeling. Are the seed thoughts and feelings of today going to grow into what you want or into more of what you currently have? It is our focus that is going to determine the answer to that. I frequently talk about increasing our awareness. I think awareness is the key to unlocking our happiness. It is what opens the door to happiness. If we were aware enough, we would see the God in all things, and we would be reassured. We would have a sense of safety and protection and goodness. We would be acting much less like cavemen and cavewomen, interpreting pretty much everything as a threat. The point here is that as we become more aware of how we focus our attention and intention and the feelings we have about that, we will be able to make better choices with our thinking. If we know or believe that God works for us, in us, and through us, we're going to be more appreciative of the energy flow that I'm about to describe. I'm drawing a stick figure, This is my artistic capabilities. That stick figure is a person. That represents us as individuals. Off to the right of that stick figure is what we want. We can represent it, what we want, in various ways. Sometimes I use a box, sometimes a circle, sometimes with symbols like a dollar sign, or I can put words in there like health or happiness or you name it. So it is that idea that we represent our goal. The missing component in most drawings of this type is that there is no representation of the divine, which is the source of that life force. And if you can just imagine that off to the left of the stick figure, is that life force wants to deliver what Christ has defined as the truth of existence in the book, Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, as the truth of existence, growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of our needs, work, survival, rhythm, all within a system of spiritual law and order that we can rely on because it's predictable every single time. And if we know that source is seeking to express those nine elements of the truth of existence for us, in us, and through us, all of a sudden we can change how we feel about things. We're not operating on our own to try to achieve our goals. In fact, we are conduits of the divine. As we use this highest vibration focus that we can, as we think of the goal, we put our attention on whatever the contents of that box or circle or representation of our goals or desires are. And if we can remember that we are directing this divine energy flow that is coming to us, it's working in us, and it's going through us to the goal. If we recognize that we're the directors of energy, all kinds of different experiences can accrue to us. A lot of times we short-circuit our own achievements when we forget that we're in the middle of this process. We're not the beginning of it. It's not just the stick figure, us, and our goal, and some sort of distance between us, either geographical distance or energetic alignment distance or time distance between us. In fact, we're in the middle, divine on one side, and of course that's only a representation, the divine is on all sides, but for the purposes of a drawing, the divine is on one side, we're the middle people, the intermediaries, and the goal that we focus our attention, intention, and the feelings we have about it, on it. When we think that we're the source of that needed energy in order to manifest a goal or a new condition of health or prosperity, it's very, very easy to become anxious and desperate and fearful. Because down deep, I think it's pretty clear that we're going to recognize we don't really know how to do so many of the things that we want done. I use this kind of thought to reinforce that awareness. We don't know how to grow a fingernail. We don't know how to heal a scratch. We don't know how to grow hair. We don't know how to grow our bodies. And we don't know how to digest a sandwich. These are fundamental things to life, and we don't know how to do them. The divine has designed this for our benefit. And when we remember that, that's real helpful. Let me go back to that silly image of the refrigerator and just change it a little teeny bit. Imagine that the refrigerator can think, and imagine that it can set as its goal keeping the food inside of itself cold. That's its goal. That's its mission. Next, imagine what would happen when the refrigerator starts to think it alone was the source of that cold that could and would allow it to achieve its goal. If the refrigerator could think that foolish, untrue thought, it wouldn't surprise us to see the refrigerator disconnect itself from the source of its power. It may refuse to accept the flow of electricity that's coming to it, or it may even, if it was active enough, pull out the plug from the wall. In either case, it would soon discover what human beings discover. That is, disconnecting from the source of that power leads to struggle, malfunctioning, and physical decay and failure. Isn't illness basically a manifestation of the same kind of disconnection from source, source with a capital S? We are the directors of energy. That energy is going to grow whatever our target is, wherever it is being delivered according to our attention, intention, and our feelings. And according to its nature, like seeds being planted by a farmer, it is going to grow more and more. When we direct love, compassion, fun, laughter, kindness, generosity, acceptance, and so on at the objects of our attention, we can enjoy that process because it feels better to have that kind of energy coursing through us, coming to us and through us, and while it's there, it is definitely working for us. And we know that the end result of that is going to be we will reap more of that same type of energy. Love, compassion, fun, laughter, kindness, generosity, acceptance, etc. But if we direct that energy like a caveman and cavewomen concerned solely with threats, and mostly imagined, and our own physical survival, we can pretty much expect to reap harvests of more threats and more dangers. The way to resolve fears and anxieties related to health, survival, safety, and protection is to reestablish our connection to the source of our very existence for support. The energy for our growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of our needs, work, etc., exists. It seeks to flow to us and through us. It seeks to work for us, in us, and through us. It's been designed that way. Our job is up to us to direct it effectively. And the way we do that is we become directors of energy coming from a higher level of awareness because we're going to use our attention, our intentions, and our feelings about ourselves as we're doing that, our feelings about the process, our feelings about the divine, our feelings about the objects of our attention. And as a result of that, we are going to harvest a life that's in harmony with those aspects of our energy directorship. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer in letter 8 of Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know that it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. And so it is. Amen. Thank you.